This is Peter Francis, President of Clinical Laboratory Sales Training, and this paper is entitled, Do I Have the Right Client Relationships? This was written in February of 2015. Go ahead. Just ask a lab salesperson how important relationships are to their business success. Most everyone will say, well, let's see now. If you deduct political ties, hospital and corporate ownership, maybe some managed care contracts, ACO directives, and maybe some anti-compliance schemes, well, relationships are just about everything. Indeed, it's frustrating for sales reps to increase business within their territory when dealing with uncontrollable circumstances. The one option remaining is to foster effective customer bonds, and it's essential for two primary reasons. One, it provides protection against marauding competitors, and two, it helps secure new business. In other words, you win now, and you win later. Reps instinctively think they develop strong ties with customers. They don't give rapport building specific, conscious thought. It's their inborn personality to be friendly and outgoing. However, it's the other side of the equation that looms higher in magnitude, how each customer regards the sales rep. Many field staff's opinion of how their customers view them are frequently higher than their customers' actual opinions. The goal for the rep, however, is to strive for the highest level, that is, to be thought of as a trusted partner. This paper addresses the psychology behind relationship development and offers suggestions on how to accomplish it in a business setting. In the end, the reader can ask him or herself, do I really have the right client relationships? Is there anything I can do to bolster any of them? In my over 40 years in the reference lab industry, and the majority in sales management, I have heard all too often a salesperson explain to me they have wonderful relationships with their accounts. This is where the phrase, the devil's in the detail, shines in the spotlight, because the relationship level will certainly vary with different customers. First, let's choose a specific client and a certain individual with whom the rep ostensibly has a wonderful rapport. Is it with the physician, the office manager, the person preparing the lab specimens, or maybe the front desk person, or a nurse, or even a medical assistant? It stands likely that someone doesn't have a tight bond with everyone within a particular client, and obviously depending upon the size of the office. From a business perspective, it's possible that that could matter. Sociable sales representatives frequently cast a wide relationship net within their accounts and prospects, simply because it's within their DNA to do so, and it's also strategically important to do so. Secondly, considering this ostensible tight bond the rep claims to have, how does that employee regard the field person? As mentioned previously, the rep may intuitively decipher a client's feeling in a different way from what the contact person thinks. In other words, wishful thinking. Third, building a strong, credible relationship with a decision maker, in addition to those that have high influence, should be an essential ingredient in a field rep's strategic recipe. Fourth, what barometer does a field person use to know the rapport with their contact is tight? The rep knows the name, the title, job responsibility, and hopefully the degree of influence of his contacts. But what background profile does he or she have on these individuals? What are their favorite books, movies, food, vacation spots, or hobbies? When is their birthday? Also, does the marketer have this kind of dossier on others that are influential? And most importantly, does the sales rep act on any of this knowledge through conversation and/or interesting articles? This is central to creating good relationships. An important component, sharing. When fostering business relations, you have to ask yourself what you know that is particularly important and unique to certain people. You can't guess or always believe exactly what someone else tells you. The key is what they themselves have told you. This sharing process truly creates power within a relationship. Assume an office manager casually remarks she enjoys photography as a hobby. You subsequently search for an interesting photography article online or maybe in a magazine, or an intriguing picture. During the next encounter, you share it with a client, as in, "I was thinking of you when I saw this." Sending a birthday or get well card also carries significance in rapport building. The more a rep can uncover personal preferences and background data from the decision maker and highly influential staff members, the greater the possibility to perform unselfish acts. Doing this establishes an interesting dichotomy. The more you give, the more you gain. Doing or saying something thoughtful is not a one-time event. It should occur at periodic, common-sense intervals. There needs to be a word of caution. In the lab industry, a field rep must be knowledgeable in the topic of compliance. There is no suggestion the marketer should give anything of financial benefit to a client. Building customer rapport should be a prime objective, but accomplished with professionalism and within compliance guidelines. There is a professional way to go about it, the opposite of which is a manner that appears awkward and self-serving and possibly even annoying. Effective actions. The problem many sales reps face is the fact prospective customers steer clear of devoting time talking to a competitor lab marketer because there's no need. There's nothing wrong with the current lab service. Instead of immediately turning around and exiting, the field rep should routinely hand out their business card and perhaps a nominal giveaway like a company pen. At the same time, and in future visits, the marketer can leave an appropriate medical topic, such as a description of a test or methodology, a brief journal abstract, or even a CDC or OIG announcement. Best practice is to write a short note to the recipient at the top of the page. For example, "I saw this and I thought it would interest you." Then sign your first name and attach your business card. Most everyone has an appetite for learning or reviewing a topic, irrespective if it is a current customer or a prospect. Being perceived as a conduit for education, in other words, adding value, it formulates a good strategy for creating credibility. A service-focused seller leans more toward the egocentric side because his or her sales conversation fixates on closing the sale. A collaborative representative, alternatively, starts with recognizing that the client's interests are of paramount importance. Clients can easily sense the difference between these two approaches, and it's quite evident which tactic the customer favors and with whom they would prefer to do business. Climbing the relationship staircase. The relationship staircase reflects six levels you have with another person. Starting from the bottom, you have people who do not know you, then people who know your name, then there are people who like you, then there are people who are friendly with you, followed by people who respect you, and at the top, people who value a relationship with you. Now, these last two steps endure as the most challenging and time-consuming to achieve. Many business relationships sit at the like you or friendly with you stage. However, successful sales representatives yearn to progress higher, and they do so through their industry knowledge, asking insightful questions, and performing unexpected, caring actions, also including offhand conversations. There are eight general areas a rep can uncover from key personnel in order to learn what someone treasures. It must be mentioned, however, that not everyone wants a relationship with a vendor. Consequently, people may not feel comfortable giving out personal information. But if the situation allows, and over time, the following themes are some suggestions. One is important dates. Second, special interests. Then there are important people. Next, important goals. Major events, favorite foods, schools attended, and important places. Making a kind gesture or having a chat doesn't always produce immediate results, and it may not produce any results for that matter, but it demonstrates interest in the other person. Most everyone has an invisible tattoo on his or her forehead that says, "Make me feel important." In fact, the longing to be appreciated is the most deep-seated human nature principle. Using this understanding in a business setting will do wonders to strengthen rapport. So what's in a name and a smile? A field rep should remember to mention the contact's name during conversations. Our name is the most important sound we hear, and when injected properly within a conversation, it's a gesture of respect. But be cautious. Don't overuse it, because it sounds false and creepy. Occasionally, saying someone's name not only sweetens the dialogue, but it will cause the contact person to want to remember and possibly use your name. If the customer reciprocates, you have spontaneously increased rapport. The other suggestion is to smile. Think for a moment when you notice a baby smiling. This automatically conduces a similar positive reaction from you. As such, you should intermittently use a real, heartwarming smile that comes from within, not an insincere or mechanical grin. There stands a long-held truism. Salespeople that smile commonly tend to be more effective. Losing and winning business. There exist numerous reasons why a physician's office will switch allegiance to a different laboratory. Barring political power plays and questionable compliance schemes, it distills down to two primary elements in successive order. One is what's best for the office practice and patient care, and two, the client's emotional quotient of the incumbent lab and its field person. In a state of exasperation, the client simply expects service and/or result quality deficiencies to be immediately corrected, and that is point number one. But point number two may come to bear because it involves the element of human compassion. The highly valued field rep, or maybe an internal lab employee, can rescue the account through timely and effective resolution. However, if problems persist, there stands a risk the customer will shift his business elsewhere. As an antipodal position to this adverse business scenario, there exists a tangential point. The representative can gain a new customer by, one, how a customer respects and values a lab, or maybe someone working at the lab. Two, what kind of improvement will be made by changing labs. For example, maybe something like improved connectivity function or better communication, etc. And three, how much they feel there is a certain degree of collaboration with a trusted business partner. It has been said that in situations where lab choice exists, at least 50% of a client's decision rests with their opinion of the vendor and the associated individual with whom they have consistently interacted. This is no less important when it comes to upselling. If a customer divides lab work between several vendors using arbitrary reasoning, it's quite possible to have more specimens channeled to the, quote, better relationship lab. Now, some may say, I admit some of my relationships aren't as good as they could be. Well, if the reader concedes there are accounts where the rapport is questionable, there is usually one or a combination of four probable reasons. They are, 1. Some personal background information has not been shared between the rep and a highly influential person or a decision maker. 2. The marketer hasn't acted on that knowledge, at least nominally through conversation. 3. Not much, if any, in the way of additional business information has been provided that the client has found beneficial. And 4. The client doesn't intuitively perceive the field rep, or even possibly the lab, as a strategic business partner. Summary. Many lab field reps subconsciously feel they have good relationships with most all of their clients. However, it's prudent to step back and evaluate strategic customers and prospects. Do you have an honest sense how your contact person views you? Where on the totem pole of lab decision-making does this person sit? Is your relationship with one or several key employees? Is there an opportunity to build a more robust connection with the final decision-maker and those that possess strong influence? Here is something to consider. If the field rep is asked to provide customer references regarding his or her performance and general personality, how many decision makers would they feel comfortable indicating on the list? Now, let's see. A field rep and the manager, or maybe the lab owner, may not consider allocating time to microanalyze the personal associations within significant current and prospective accounts. But it is widely accepted that having strong customer relationships translate to significantly higher account retention and better future sales performance. As the axiom goes, you win now, you win later. Thank you for listening to this topic of building relationships, and I hope you have gleaned some important messages. If you would like to know more about clinical laboratory sales training, please go to www.clinlabsales.com, and you will find a host of different topics on selling lab services under the sales training articles link.